Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Ted, for the introduction. It's me, Sonny Clark, here on a Tuesday night. And as we get ready, I don't know if anybody the guys aren't here. And I know there's one guy that wants to talk about it. So I'm going to save my breaking news until Cuervo gets in here. But lots of things that we're going to be talking about here on the Couch Potato Sports Show here tonight, NFL. I'm sure we're going to just dab a little bit into some college football as we, I think if it's not opening weekend, it's the next weekend. We'll know more. My gentlemen who are the college football experts are here. See, we all have our specialty. I mean, we're all NFL experts. Tarvin, myself, as well as Cuervo, the fine co-host of this program. And then the college guys, that would be Cuervo and Tarvin. And then you got your indoor football expert, that would be moi. And then we got high school expert for the locals, that would be moi here too. So we're doing a lot of things here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. The Couch Potato Sports Show is the home of the Texas Revolution Indoor Football Team radio broadcast that you'll be hearing each and every week. All 12 games will be brought to you here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And also, upcoming this Friday, for my locals, my lokes, my crazy lokes that are listening into the show, the Rowlett Eagles, they're on the road. They're taking on Lake Highland and the Wildcats over at Wildcat Rams Stadium as the Rowlett Eagles look to improve to 2-0 out on the season. They had a real good outing. We had a bad broadcast, but we got our commercials played, and you can barely hear us, but I moved up the volume. But next week, I'm assured that we will not have those same problems as they didn't have the output on the internet high enough. So that's where we ran into our problems here. Last Thursday on our opening night of coverage of Texas high school football in the Rowlett Eagles. So lots of news going on and lots of things being talked about in the NFL as well as college football. And those are the things that we do best here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And one of the things I just wanted to jump into really quick is we are here, we're talking, and knowing that the NFL season is just around the corner, we've got a lot of news that are happening now. The injuries now are coming in, and they are coming in big after we're done here in the second, third week of preseason football. And that has always been a problem. Every year you see somebody go down that is vital, and the Green Bay Packers took a major hit over the weekend. Jordy Nelson, ACL, he's gone. And that is a huge, huge hit for the Green Bay Packers. You can say whatever you want about him. I mean, because I like Jordy Nelson, but I will tell you this, just really sweet, just quick. The Packers Super Bowl hopes, you know, they took a huge hit with the loss of Jordy Nelson. I'm sorry. When he tore that ACL in that preseason game, I'm going to tell you, there's not going to be any combination in the house as far as pass catchers for the Green Bay Packers that are going to replace that production that they get from Jordy Nelson. And this is such a devastating injury in a division that's up in the air. I mean, we can talk a little bit about the Green Bay Packers and their, you know, what does this do to their chances in the NFC North? I'm not worried about the Chicago Bears, and Cuervo would probably agree with me. And he'd probably be a little PO'd that he would have to agree with me. But the simple fact of the matter is the Chicago Bears are nothing to worry about, I think, in the NFC North. So now it comes down to, can the Green Bay Packers hold on to this defense without Jordy Nelson? Remember, they lost Hanadi Nada, or however you say his name, to the Detroit Lions. So the Detroit Lions, a football team right now, hey, you can say what you want, but we haven't been talking about the Detroit Lions. And normally we're hearing stories coming out of the, whether it's the preseason, whether, you know, it's in training camp, where you have problems that are going on with the Detroit Lions. And frankly, I haven't heard them. And that's only good for the Detroit Lions as they move forward and trying to get away from some of the nonsense that they've had to deal with on that football team from year to year to year with Sue on that football team. They got an answer to that guy. And I think the Detroit Lions have decided that they're done trying to answer for him. Obviously, he's down in Miami now. But they go ahead and they get Nada in his place. Now, granted, I think those are two football players that are very comparable. So I don't think the Detroit Lions lose very much when it comes to that position on that defensive line, nose tackle. So with the Green Bay Packers trying to hold on for dear life going into the season with no Jordy Nelson, they better come up with an answer. And when you look at Aaron Rodgers, the guy is amazing. What he does is he makes players on his football team better, and he's going to be asked to do a lot. Now, we talked about it 2 years ago, okay, when I predicted the Green Bay Packers wouldn't make the playoffs, and they damn near didn't. And they made it by the skin of their teeth. And I said on that show they weren't going to make the playoffs. However, this will be interesting as we talk about the NFC North and we'll talk about what the difference is of this football team without some of the key players on the Green Bay Packers. So the Green Bay Packers in the division, you can say what you want about Minnesota. They looked good this weekend. And granted, this is preseason. How important is it? That just all depends on how you feel about preseason. It does give an indication a little bit on what you can expect if a player goes down. But this last game, is we saw a lot of the starters in these games. And now you got to ask yourself the question, if you're the Green Bay Packers, how much, if at all, do you see Aaron Rodgers in that last preseason game? I'm going to tell you right now, he'll be in uniform, but that guy is not taking one step out on the football field. They might even ban him 10 feet to the sideline so no one accidentally runs into him. That's a big, huge hit for the Green Bay Packers going into this 2015-2016 season. And it could affect what the NFC North will look like. The Vikings, an improving football team, and it is because of one guy. And we talk about it all the time here on this football show. It's about your quarterback. And Teddy Bridgewater is the real deal, guys. I'm telling you that. I've been telling you that from last year to this year. This guy is going to improve the Minnesota Vikings. And now they got Adrian Peterson in the backfield. And you say what you want about his off-field antics. Throw that away. It don't matter now, obviously. Obviously, it don't matter to the Vikings. It's all about wins and losses, which, you know, you can decide if that's sad, but it's a reality. I'm excited today. A good day. Because really, if you listen to this Couch Potato Sports Show, we kept our promise for the last 3 years, folks. We've kept our promise. After the Super Bowl, we keep bringing you football here on the show, whether it's live play-by-play of the Texas Revolution indoor football team, whether it's high school football, we've kept our promise. We got you from Super Bowl to week number one, and that's just what we do. Cuervo's going to be getting his on-campus with Cuervo thing on and coming soon. But where do you put the Green Bay Packers right now? If you're a Green Bay Packer fan, are you worried? And if you're not, I want a lie detector test taken for you. Jordy Nelson is 65% of the targets throwing when Aaron Rodgers throws the football. You're taking out a 65% of your offense in the passing game when you lose Jordy Nelson. How are you going to refill that? I just don't see how they're going to do it. Oh, they got guys that have potential, but let's be honest. When you're about ready to start the season, do you really want to go into the season with, well, we got a lot of potential at that position? Hell no. You want to go, I got Jordy Nelson penciled in, and that guy's going to get 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns. You don't have that now if you're the Green Bay Packers. That is huge. And that also brings up another debate on how many preseason football games that we are going to see. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to change my position on this. I never thought that the 18-game schedule would be good for the NFL. But I'm going to tell you, as far as games that matter, when you lose guys in games that don't matter, that are going to be a big part of your football team, they probably are going to reevaluate all of this stuff that's going on and push it and probably try to get that done here in the next few years. I'm changing my position on this because I never thought we'd see this. But the rash of injuries from the last 3 years in preseason where you see vital guys for vital football teams go down. And the more and more that we start talking about the NFL, we talk about the elite. And this is the elite, folks. Why do I say that is because this is a sport where you just can't go get them off the side of the street and have them plug in. For that matter, you can't go into the Indoor Football League. You can't go to the Canadian League. You can't go to certain places to fill a hole. And if you're trying to fill a big hole on your football team and trying to make your football team make it through the season and you lose a vital person at a vital position, you're behind the eight ball before you even get started. The Green Bay Packers, for those that – I'm going to tell you right now, who had the bet for them to make the Super Bowl, they're shaking in their boots. And I'm going to tell you, Vegas went ahead and stripped those odds and took them down. I don't need to go look to find that out. So how do they do it? What more are they going to do? That's going to be the huge question as they move forward, the Green Bay Packers. And what are you going to do? Are you going to trust the Vikings? Offensively, it's kind of reminds me of what I'm dealing with here as far as the Rowlett Eagles in my high school. Now, granted, high school, I don't want anybody to think I'm making a comparison to high school football to the NFL because I'm not. But the same situations apply. When you lose vital players in the off season to teams in free agency where guys go to different teams, and then you're left with some of the guys to fill some holes to step up. How do you feel about your football team if you lose a lot, let's say, as far as the Rowlett Eagles are concerned, on the defensive side of the ball? You're feeling okay with the offense, and your offense may have to score to win football games. That's what we're looking at for my local team here. So the shoe's on the other foot for the Green Bay Packers. What's going to happen? Who's going to step up? That's going to be so vital going into this season. And I'm going to tell you, I had the Green Bay Packers, bar none, winning this division. And I'm taking that completely back. That's how much Jordy Nelson means to this offense. You can go back a few years to the Indianapolis Colts. Peyton Manning. Who was his number one guy? Who was the guy he was going after? Would be the big question. So, that having been said, The offense of the Green Bay Packers has got a lot to lose here. And where they're going to stand at the end of the season, I think we're going to look back up on this injury for the Green Bay Packers. And folks, it wouldn't surprise me if the Green Bay Packers don't make the playoffs. It would not surprise me. Why? Because the Green Bay Packers, ever since Aaron Rodgers' second season as the starter, have put so much pressure and so much weight on this guy's shoulders, there's no wonder that they can't win football games. And with a mediocre defense at times, you're asking your superstar to be a superstar and never give away a game. Never make a mistake that costs them the game. And when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, they do it each and every season. And you can't feel comfortable if you're a Green Bay Packer fan. You just cannot. So I think the NFC North is going to be a very, very interesting division this year. And those that really love what's going on, as far as your football team is concerned, you better hope that you don't lose your guy. And there have been a lot of guys that, a lot of football teams have lost their guy this season. First week, it was quiet. Now that we're in the second and third week, oh, contraire mon frere, it goes right back to what I was saying. There's always going to be some kind of devastating injury that are going to be huge. And then you add up on the cuts. There have been a lot of teams that they have had a lot of cuts. Teams have to trim their rosters down to 53 by this Saturday. And then that's September 5th. And then the deadline looming to get it down to be ready to go into the season. And there have been a lot of talks about what happened in 2012 in the draft. And, folks, I called this thing, and the only reason why I'm going into this, guys, is because I haven't got Cuervo in and we'll do this. But, hey, hold on. Before I go there, okay, I'm going to go into some news that normally is not anything that a lot of, you know, NFL football people do, but we got to talk about it because it's big. Because on this show, we do talk about a lot of other sports. And a lot of other sports, whether it's the NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey sometimes. I love to sit and talk hockey. Just no one wants to talk about it. And if you can pronounce their names, that'd be amazing. But there's some major news in another sport. Sports entertainment. Guys, I heard this. And this is breaking news that you're hearing. But it came out at 1 o'clock, but it is breaking news here. Because if you know anything about Sonny Clark, I'm a wrestling guy. Hey, guys, I'm going to admit it. Those boys, they do a lot of work. They work very hard. But this breaking news, oh my gosh, I almost flipped when I seen this. I've been working a lot today. I got to hit the button again. This is crazy. Yes, breaking news, Jimmy Superfly Snuka is going to be charged with murder. Now, this is Jimmy Superfly Snuka has posted bail. He is in the WWE Hall of Fame. And this goes back not just recently. We're talking 32 years ago in the death of his girlfriend. Third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter. Now, the investigators believe Snuka killed his girlfriend following an attack in the motel in Allentown, Pennsylvania, back in 1983. Now, according to our autopsy report that had been recently obtained by Morning Call, okay? Now, Morning Call is making this big. His girlfriend suffered multiple cuts and contusion on her body. The autopsy shows that she died with a traumatic brain injury consistent of moving the head and striking it with the head was stationary by being struck like a lamp. Her head was straight, and he just got popped, like, in the back of the head or something. The investigation was reopened after continuous pressure from the girlfriend's family. And Snuka had already been arrested and taken into custody in New Jersey earlier today. He has been booked. His bond was set at $100,000, and he is out on bail. And I cannot tell you how much of a big story this really is. If you're a wrestling guy, and I'll say to an extent, wrestling history, because this happened back in 1983. Now, folks that don't know, that was 33 years ago. Let's see, yeah. Crazy, 32 years ago. And the pressure from the family was so much that they had to reopen it as they figured, we got to do something about it. Now, I don't know how they preserve all the evidence or how they go back and look at it. But Jimmy's, oh God, Superfly, Jimmy, Superfly. That's right. Unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you right now, the WWE, they're not saying jack squat right now. Because this does go back 33 years. 32. Unbelievable. I wonder where they stand. I mean, they're not going to say anything. And I think, I hope I just did not just kick myself offline. Sonny wasn't thinking. I think I just kicked myself offline. Let's find out if I did. Oh, my word. There we go. The studio, is it still open? Am I still online? It says I'm still online. Hopefully, no, I'm not. Okay, I am online. I lost you for a moment. If I did, I apologize, because I wanted to find out some things. Snuka. Wow. And that's history, guys. Jimmy Superfly Snuka is history. And yeah, wow. 23 minutes. I mean, this is crazy. There's a lot of news. All you got to do is go in and put it in WWE, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, or just Jimmy Snuka. But lots of news, and this is hitting the airwaves. And I just want to know, just in reality, what the WWE is saying. They're going to the no comment thing. I don't know. But I would like to know what their actual thinking is on this. But this broke about noon my time. And I just seen it before we went on air. So I'm looking right now to see if it's the same level. And I'm looking to see if the WWE has anything to say about it. And no, it hasn't. And now, the WWE has been going through a lot of things in reality. You know, they've had a couple of deaths. Roddy Piper, he's dead. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, gone. But there's no official announcement coming from the WWE. And all within the passings of a couple of legends, when I heard something about Jimmy Superfly, I thought he died. So that's a big, big story coming out of there. I'll tell you, if you go back as far as history in wrestling and, you know, you have any kind of age on you, you know a little bit that that's a big story.
You didn't know.
Let's go ahead, in case you didn't know.
Your ass better call somebody.
Taking it from WWE and bringing them in, it is Cuervo. Good evening, Cuervo. Welcome in.
Sonny Clark, good to hear you.
What is going on, my friend?
Man?
I'm awesome. I am so awesome, it's unbelievable.
Well, I already know you are, and that's why I'm still on this show.
Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Now, you know, work was, you know, okay. So, and when I got home, I said, got to do a show. Just got to do a show. Jimmy Superfly Snuka. And I know you know who this guy is, Guervo.
Yeah, I know who he is. I remember him as a young lad watching the WWF. and I remember hearing the name and things like that, and I heard some news about something that happened, I mean, years ago.
Yeah,
and I'm assuming that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was the death of his girlfriend 33 years ago, and consistent with him just knocking her in the head when her head was stable. It was like she was sitting and he popped her one. At least that's what the initial evidence is coming across on Jimmy the Superfly. He has been put out on bail, so he's home. So, but like I said, it'd be interesting to see where the WWE lies on this. That was so long ago, and it's really and the WWE is in a lose-lose, okay? They got their Hall of Fame guy, you know, put him in the Hall of Fame. Now here he is. They had problems with Hulk Hogan with the, you know, racial slur thing coming out. You know, then Roddy Piper passing away, and then the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. They're in the news for a lot of things that they have no control over regarding deaths. But, man, this one here is something that they just don't need right now, I don't think.
No, they don't need it. I mean, how much involvement do you really think the WWE will have in this? I mean, you're talking about a guy, like you said, who's already retired from the sport, who's already in the Hall of Fame. I mean, how do you really think they'll get too involved in this whole thing? I mean, what would their reason be? I can understand, obviously, if it's a current wrestler, but for a guy that's been away from the sport for years, I guess maybe I'm missing something as far as how involved the WWE really is going to be as far as...
Oh. He's actually very, very much involved. In case you didn't know, Snuka is under what they call, quote unquote, a legends contract. He does a lot of personal appearances for the WWE, especially when it comes to WrestleMania and the big ones like SummerSlam and, you know, the biggies. He makes an appearance usually as far as that. So they probably have to distance themselves until they get this thing squared away as far as what his guilt will be. Will he be actually found guilty of this, you know, 32 years later? It's just so huge right now as far as the WWE. And coming off a great, by the way, if you watch SummerSlam, a great main event. They got four of them a year. SummerSlam's the biggie, or, you know, the second biggie of the year.
Yeah, see, I didn't necessarily know all that as far as the, you know, all of the stuff that he does as far as being an ambassador for the WWE. So that makes a lot of sense. And now I understand why they'd be so involved. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, people enjoyed watching as a, you know, 30 years ago. And to see all this come down now, it's you know, like you said, I mean, the deaths that they've had, it's very similar to what the NFL goes through. It's just,
yep.
It's just negative publicity after negative publicity. So it's rough.
Yeah, the wrestling world taking some major hits here, whether it be a death or obviously this deal with Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Now, real quick, let's get it. I've talked, you know, I'd probably say about 15, 17 minutes, but I'm going to go ahead. Let's get into the news. Let's go back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Jordy Nelson, I put the message out, Cuervo. This could be that devastating injury that we talked about. You know, every year there's that devastating injury, and I'm going to say it couldn't have happened to a worse person as far as the Green Bay Packers are concerned, unless it was Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you got a guy that is 65% of your offense in the passing game, and you lose him, he's gone for the year. Who steps in for the Green Bay Packers if you don't know. I don't know. This is going to be a very interesting year for the Green Bay Packers.
It is, Sonny, and it's really going to test, not that you really have to test the worth of Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, a lot of people try to question how good he really is. And I mean, you're crazy to do that because, you know, he's the one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the league right now. But, I mean, they've got a young guy in Davante Adams who can step in and, you know, possibly fill that role. But, you know, and then obviously, you know, Randall Cobb is going to have to really up his game as well. I mean, you could talk about who's going to replace Nelson. And, I mean, Cobb is the easy choice, but it's he's just going to have to do it. And I think another thing, too, is Rodgers may have to rely on the tight ends a little bit more than he normally does. So it's going to be interesting to see how balanced he works with his receivers and the tight ends as far as making up for the loss of Nelson. And it is very unfortunate, you know. And I'll be damned if we were just talking about it. I mean, that's the crazy part.
Yep.
We were like,
yes, we were.
Let's go through the preseason without any major injuries. And I'll be damned. I feel like I jinxed.
I told you to expect it, and you jinxed it. You said, everything looks pretty good, and you jinxed it. Which, by the way, just to let you know, Randall Cobb, he sprained his right shoulder. They're saying that it's going to be ready for week number one against the Bears in week number one, but that's still going to be something that they talk about these injuries, and boy, they will take it right up to the last hour where they got to put up or shut up. Will Randall Cobb play? And it'll go up to that time. But from what I'm hearing, he's ready. They expect him to be there, but no Randall Cobb and no Jordy Nelson. We talked about this last year, the year before, when I told you that the Green Bay Packers wouldn't make the playoffs, and they barely didn't, by the way, if you remember correctly. But it was all about the pressure on the quarterback of Aaron Rodgers, and how, since year number two, since this guy has been starting in year number three, there's been so much weight on this guy's shoulders to perform. There's been so much weight on this guy to get the Super Bowl win, and they got that one. But really, the pressure has been on Aaron Rodgers to get this football team back to the glory days and get them back to the Super Bowl so they can bring home the ring. And let's see, did I lose Corey? Nope, let me bring him back in. I'm not sure how much of that. Did you hear that last part, Corey? I didn't realize you had bailed out there for a second.
Yeah, I did, Sonny. I got some bad feedback, so I just hung up and called back in. But, you know, I honestly have to say that I think the problem with people's view of the Green Bay Packers is you're so focused on how the offense is going to do. And people, I don't want to say fail to realize, but they just kind of tend to let it fall by the wayside that, you know, the defense needs to perform too. I mean,
yep.
When you think about it, the defense blew a, 17-point lead in the NFC title game?
Yes,
They allowed Seattle to get into their head and really let the crowd take over the game. I mean, the 12th man took over that game in the second half, and that's what started the rally for Seattle. So, you could blame it on the onside kick all you want. You could blame it on the interception in the end zone all you want. At that time of the interception, Green Bay they still had a comfortable lead.
Yes, they did.
So, even though Green Bay wasn't able to capitalize on some opportunities in the beginning of the game, and they had to settle field goals. The defense did not help one bit in the second half. Did a good job in the first half, but that second half, it just seems like they ran out of gas, and that crowd took them out of the game mentally. So
that's what it was. It was more of the crowd, I think. I think that in that game, the crowd was so in your face. That, you know, that didn't surprise me one bit that they ended up dropping it, because that crowd just got into the football game big time.
It did, Sonny, and you know, I think that's what needs to change for Green Bay this year. You know, they got to be a little tougher on defense. I'm not questioning Dom Capers at all by any means. I think he's a great defensive coordinator. Hell, I'd love to have him in Chicago, but you know, it's players. It all comes down to the execution on the field, and you know, for Green Bay, it's that defense is going to be the question. I mean, they lost some of their defensive backs, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to cover teams with good receiving corps and good quarterbacks, and how much are they going to give up in the passing game, or how well are they going to be able to protect leads? That's going to be the bigger story about the Packers, more than, well, they lost Jordy Nelson for the year.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, the Green Bay Packers, we're going to go through the divisions. We're going to get that done here between this week and next week, and week number one. We're going to do that. And these injuries, definitely, this could be the one that changes the landscape over there in the NFC North. I mean, I'm not saying that the Bears have a chance. They're going to probably finish last in that division. But in step the Minnesota Vikings. In step the Detroit Lions, who don't care if they have Sue, they bring in Nada, so they replace him fairly well, so they didn't skip a beat there. It'll be very interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers can carry, because let's be honest, with you got guys that are out that are big time in your offense, okay, that means that this is a football team that may go ahead and start relying a little bit on the run to make up for what they lose in Jordy Nelson, and so that goes out to the big man in the backfield.
Yeah, big boy Lacy is going to have to really earn his pay and start getting a lot more touches, and Green Bay's going to have to be a lot more balanced than what they normally are.
I think that's going to be key for them to win football games, Cuervo.
They have to, Sonny. I mean, that's where their focus needs to be now. And if I know it, then the other defenses know it too. So now the question becomes, well, who does it rely on? Well, in my opinion, I think you don't look at the receivers, who they have. You don't look at Eddie Lacy necessarily, and you definitely don't want to point the finger at Aaron Rodgers. You know what you're going to get from Rodgers, that's why I don't really put a lot of pressure on Rodgers. The key offensively.
But don't the fans and the expectations of, if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, doesn't that automatically just throw some weight on the shoulders of Aaron Rodgers going
not
into
really.
2015?
If I'm a Packer fan, Sonny, I'm not too worried about Rodgers. Again, he's the best quarterback in the league, arguably. This year, I'm calling Aaron Rodgers 1A and Andrew Luck 1B. That's where I stand as far as quarterbacks this year. But I mean, if I'm a Packer fan, I'm looking at the offensive line and I'm saying, you better do your damn job, and you better have the best year that you've had in years, even better than the Super Bowl year that they had 5 years ago. They better be even better than that. So that's where the focus should be if you're a Packers fan on the offensive side. You don't need to worry about Rodgers. Lacy, as long as he's got holes to run through, he's going to run over some guys. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He doesn't fumble. He doesn't have a problem with fumbling the ball or anything like that. But it's going to be that offensive line that is going to be the key. And they've done some shifting around. You know, maybe they finally figured out how to keep Rodgers protected the best way that they can.
Well, they better do that, because walks in the Detroit Lions and the Vikings. They have just now, with that injury, I think they put themselves, you know, in contention for a playoff spot or the NFC North Championship and hanging out for the wild card. So a big-time injury in Green Bay will definitely, I think that's going to have more of an effect. I'm not worried about Aaron Rodgers. I'm worried about who's going to catch the football. And Randall Cobb not being 100%, you've got to be a little bit worried going into this season as far as 2016 is concern because of the fact that they don't necessarily have anybody to throw the ball. That having been said, then you got to look at some other things in that division, and you got to at least open the door, give some thought to the Lions and the Vikings maybe having a shot. So, interesting news. Now, we talked about this a couple of years ago. Cuervo, I'm going to bring it in because I talked about it 2 years ago. It was the second year of RG3, and I told everybody at that time, don't fall in love with this guy. Not necessarily because he didn't have the skills, okay? We already seen what that guy could do in his rookie year. We've talked about that on this show. But ever since then, I said, give me a defensive coordinator and or a guy that will hit this dude and get him gunshot. I'm telling you right now that RG3, as good and talented as this guy is, I think this guy is gunshot. I think this guy is afraid to take the hit. Well, he's taking the hit now. The Redskins are going to start Kirk Cousins in week number one. That's not any great big surprise after what happened to RG3 in that last preseason game.
Yeah, Sonny, I guess the way I look at it is I kind of don't blame RG3 for being gun-shy, and I only say that because this guy, as much as he gets hurt, I'd be a little hesitant too, but at the same time, if you're going to play quarterback in the NFL and you expect to be a starter, you can't be gun shy.
Gotta be
you can't be afraid. You've got to have the stones to go out there and brush it off and get off. I mean, you look at Tom Brady, who tore an ACL on a hit, and he came back out and he did just fine. You look at Peyton Manning. He had 4 neck surgeries. He came back out. He's doing fine. So, I mean, you've got some of the best in the league that have gone through injuries. They have their history of injuries, and they've had to sit out some time and whatnot, but they come right back, and they have the mental strength to be able to come right back out and be the guys that they were before their injury. And you know, as much as we talk about RG3 and maybe he doesn't have the build, he doesn't have the size to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, I think more importantly he doesn't have the mental strength to do it. You know, everybody praises him because his parents were former military personnel. Well, that's his parents. That's not him. It has nothing to do with him as a person. So, the leadership that he gets from his parents, it obviously hasn't rubbed off on him because he's not showing it, Sonny. And you know, I don't blame Jay Gruden for going with Cousins. If he feels like he gives them that Washington Redskins team the best chance to win games, then you know what? As the head coach, that's your right to bench whoever you want to bench. You know, I mean, look at the situation in Buffalo. I mean, my God, who saw that coming with Tyrod Taylor is named as the starter in week one? I don't think anybody saw that coming.
I don't think you're right, and that's a good point that you bring up, because when you look at the Buffalo Bills and what they are built to do, you expected Manuel to start for that football team. You just did. And not because he was just the only answer, but you go back to that decision to sit RG3. I've been reading reports, and that doesn't surprise me about Daniel Snyder really pressing the issue with RG3. Well, of course you press the issue. You overpaid the guy after he re-signed the contract. And we talked about this when it happened. We thought it was the biggest mistake in the world. But when I looked at RG3 after year number one, I wanted to know what he was going to be. And that hit that he took, I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but it was so awkward. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was obvious he was afraid he was going to get hit in here hard. And he tried to brace himself, and he did it the wrong way, and he ended up getting smashed up. But this is a football team that has been depending on this guy after year number one. And I get the understanding that potential, we can talk about potential all the time on this show, but until that potential is reached, until you can't give a guy one season, especially his rookie season, and no defensive coordinator seeing what he's doing on an NFL football field. Forget college, because it's a different game. You're going to get an idea what he can do, but there's going to be some things that you're not going to be able to see until after year number one. And we have not seen RG3 be RG3, as you know, according to what it was, you know, since year number one. And it doesn't surprise me. It goes back to the fact that those kind of quarterbacks, they take a beating, and he's taken a beating this year, or the last 2 years. And it was almost so predictable, it was sad. But the problem is that the Washington Redskins, they got a lot of money soaked into this guy right now.
Yeah, not just the money, Sonny, but, I mean, you think about the investment from the standpoint of
community.
How much they gave up to get him. You know,
oh, that too.
I mean,
yeah, that too.
You know, I mean, if you trade RG3, you're not getting 3 first round picks for him. They ain't coming. You may get 3 fifth round picks for him if you're lucky. So, you know, that I think that's why Washington is so hesitant too, is because if they release him or they trade him, they're pretty much, they have officially given away, you know, draft picks. I mean, they basically get nothing out of the deal, and it's a shame, because that's why the Redskins have continued to be not a very good football team, is because they're just making bad business decisions. The front office is not doing a good job, and you can sit there and you could switch out the GMs all you want, switch out.
It's all Daniel Snyder. He's a Jerry Jones wannabe, and that's a Daniel Snyder eat.
It is. Well, and that's the point I was making, is you can hire a new GM every year, but if the same thing is happening, well, then maybe it's not the GM. Maybe it's the guy that the GM works for, you know? So it's just bad ownership. It's bad ownership, bad you know, hiring, or they're not hiring guys that can do the job. I mean, how else?
Well, let's be honest. You look at that contract, Cuervo. Listen to this. He was only expected to make $3.5 million this year, but he took a salary cap of 6.7. That was the huge hit. That's a dead cap hit. They can't do anything. They're just taking a hit. Next season, they can cut him, because this dude is due, if he keeps them in 2016, $16.1 million. I'm going to tell you right now that you will see Robert Griffin on the road before you see this guy in a Redskin uniform. And so that begs the question, where will this guy go? The Redskins, they may have an ego, but they're not going to take a $16.1 million hit when they're not getting anything from him. And not only that, you put up on this guy signed in his career, okay, and over $13.7 million in signing bonuses as well. Just this past year, $3.5 million. The year before that, $3.5 million. The year before that, $3.5 million. They spread it out. They've just in money that they can't retrieve, never mind the salary, which really wasn't nothing. And we're year number one, $390,000. Then it went up to 1.3, then to 2.3. This year he's making 3.2, but he also got a 3.5 signing bonus. But next year, 16.1. You can't keep Robert Griffin on this football team next year. He will be on a different team if he plays football.
No, Sonny, I mean, that's way too much money, too, for a backup quarterback.
Oh, God,
yeah. I mean, we've talked about our share of, you know, guys getting overpaid and whatnot, but, you know, I mean, the situation that the Redskins are in is, and when I say nobody, I mean nobody has made a phone call, nobody has any interest in trading for RG3. So I'm telling you right now, Sonny, the only way the Redskins are going to get rid of him is if they cut him. And, man,
you almost can't afford to do that either.
Money-wise.
Well, next year they have to afford it, but this year, man, I don't know.
And so it's like, what do the Redskins do? I mean, is that telling us that they're going to invest in Cousins, or are they going to go out and they're going to find another quarterback to trade for, or maybe sign in free agency after the season is over, or maybe even draft a quarterback? I mean, but who in college really impresses you right now? I don't.
Exactly.
The talent pool in college football this year in the quarterback position is not that great. I mean, you can grab up one of the Ohio State guys, and he may excite you for 6 weeks, just like RG. But you'd have another RG3, really, if you really think about it. The talent pool in college football this year, and Tarvin will tell you the same thing, this year, it's not good. It's not good at all. So you would almost have to find a way to trade for a guy. I mean, I don't know what you're going to give them, because you really don't have a whole lot to give away. You gave everything to the St. Louis Rams, so
yep.
You know that's
big loss for them.
That's what really sucks about making big time trades like that. I mean, you would almost have to see the future for it to work out for you, and you know, just
well,
just didn't happen.
They had success doing that. I mean, you got to look at the Atlanta Falcons and Julio Jones.
Say that. What about Julio Jones?
Yeah, you look at that. You got to ask yourself. I mean, last time that happened and looked well and worked out well when you traded half away your trade picks of the Atlanta Falcons and Julio Jones.
Oh yeah, that was a good trade for the Falcons. I mean, and for the Browns, sort of. I mean, they did some picks. Yeah, I mean, that one worked out pretty good for the Falcons. So. Even though they
yep.
haven't made a Super Bowl yet, you know, just the fact that they've been to the playoffs and they came close to a Super Bowl. I mean, when was the last time the Redskins even sniffed the Super Bowl? 20 years ago?
Absolutely. Good point. Very good point. Let's go ahead and bring him in. He's been on hold for close to 5 minutes. The good old boy himself out there from Georgia is Brian Tarvin from Wayne Sports Talk. Brian Tarvin, two quick questions for you. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers losing Jordy Nelson. Do the Green Bay Packers make the playoffs? Then jump to RG3 and give us your comments on that. Start with Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, huge loss, but I mean, just throw somebody in there. Next up in line. He's going to hit them. Eddie Lacy's going to run. Green Bay's still a playoff team. I still think they can make the Super Bowl. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers is good enough
wow.
to find another receiver. I mean,
the major love coming from Tarvin and the Green Bay Packers. I mean, we
yeah.
had Packer Backer on this show talking about next man up, next man up. They dropped the damn ball. I'll never forget that episode, by the way. And here, Brian Tarvin, he must have been talking to Packer Backer behind our backs.
I was. I just got off the phone with him. I said, damn it, you're right. The Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. And someone
yes.
called Sonny Clark and Cuervo. I know Cuervo loves the Packers. Have to throw that in there. But, hey, you know, forget about Aaron Rodgers. It's about something. You know, I told you I was wrong with Flacco. You know, I admit when I'm wrong. But there's nobody can say I was wrong about RG3. I mean, I said it from the get-go. This guy is a bust, and that's what he is. Washington management still wants him because they don't want to deprive. The ego is a big seven deadly, one of them. You screw
yes.
up, you screw up. You cut ties, you let it go. But this management still wants just to hold on to him because they gave up the farm, like Cuervo said. But, wow, RG3, where does he need to go? Probably to hell, I don't know. I don't know, but not to the NFL. And Cuervo's right about the NFL. Are the quarterbacks in college ready for the NFL? But I'm an Auburn guy, and I'm not saying this. You never heard me say this about Nick Marshall. Jeremy Johnson probably will be a first rounder next year, just right out of this first year, and he'll be starting in the NFL. You don't know if that.
Well, they're going to have to make it into the playoffs, I think, first of all. That's number one if that happens. And I think I somewhat understand what you're saying. But I think he has to perform in the playoffs, in that 14 playoffs. It's going to come down to that, whether or not you see that guy go in the first round.
Well, I don't think so, because everybody's wanting the next quarterback to something. I mean, somebody's got to work out. I mean, it seems like every year. How long has it been since Andrew Luck, since the quarterback, has actually worked out, right? I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, it's been since Andrew Luck, as far as I can remember. You know, Cam Newton, he was pretty good. You know, Andrew Luck's phenomenal right now, but those are the last two. Kaepernick sucks. RG3 sucks. So, I mean, somebody's going to hit. You know, you keep drafting these quarterbacks, eventually you're going to get one that works. And I think these owners are just like, hell, let's just roll with it. Let's keep – we have to find a quarterback, because without a quarterback, Sonny, you said it more than anybody, you're not making the playoffs. So
absolutely.
You have to go find one.
After year number one, I saw what a great season Robert Griffin III had, and I gave him the props. But as soon as year number two, that means all NFL defensive coordinators got film on this guy. And it just – and I'm sorry, give me a defensive coordinator with that kind of running quarterback every single time. And I'm going to tell you they're going to win. Because why? Because that predictability of the running quarterback is not necessarily that he's running. In year number two, he's running scared. Because why? They got a beat on his ass. And that is the problem with a RG3 and that kind of quarterback going into it. I said it before, I said it again. I didn't buy into the first year either, although he had a good year. But I wasn't sold on Robert Griffin III. I said Andrew Luck. Although, man, you know, it goes back to, you know, Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf, man. You get the best of the two that everybody's talking about, and if you don't take them, you're going to hear about it. In this case, it just happened to work out a little bit different. It was, you know, Robert Griffin taking number one, and then Andrew Luck number two, when it was Peyton, then Ryan Leaf. So, you know, it's 6-1, half a dozen of the other. And get this, Daniel Snyder's got $21 million sunk into this dude, okay, that he ain't getting back. And of course he wanted to see what he could do, but this guy's gun shy. This guy's been hit so many times on that sideline, and that is the reason why we don't see RG3. You talk about pocket quarterbacks in this league. You talk about the great ones. What are they? They're all pocket quarterbacks that make the difference. They only run when they have to, instead of instinctively running right away, Cuervo. And that's the reason why we see RG3. These defensive players, not only that, you're RG3. You're the number one guy going overall in 2012. Of course they're going to bust your head open.
Right, and they're going to give every effort to do it. But, you know, I think teams, when he came out into the draft and things like that, I think the teams already knew that he wasn't going to pan out too well. And again, it comes back to size as well. I mean, if you can take the hits physically, I mean, you look at it, he's what, 6 foot tall at most, and he's barely sitting at 200 pounds. You got to look at all the quarterbacks that
I'm 6'195", 190. I've been killed in the NFL.
Right. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. He needs to, I mean, he needs to put some size on him if he's going to have a chance to survive in this league. And, you know, and that's just the least of his worries, not just the size, but, I mean, he's just got to get smarter, man. Like, I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm just saying football intelligence, it's just not there. I mean, I don't know how well he reads a defense, but boy, oh boy, it just, I don't know. It just, he commits way too many turnovers and, can't hold on to the ball. Again, I think, and that's mm-hmm. the fear that we were talking about before you came on, Tarvin. We talked about the fear that RG3 has, and if you're gonna
yeah.
start in the league, you can't be scared. Mm-hmm. You got to go out there and forget about it, because we talked about Manning and the neck surgeries and Tom Brady with the ACL tear, Drew Brees. Look at what Drew Brees went through to get back in the league. I mean,
yeah.
they said his shoulder would never heal.
RG3's a runner, though.
Yep.
RG3
yeah.
is a runner that played in the Big 12. Let's blame that sorry conference of defense that got his ego up. Cam Newton showed me that you can't run in the NFL as a quarterback. If you're 6'6", 260,
and he's learned
I mean, I'm
that.
Sorry,
he,
I've changed
he,
my
Kevin.
Mind. You cannot be a running quarterback anymore.
Absolutely, and you've seen that in him, and you've seen him change his game as well the past two seasons.
Yeah, or he's gonna be out because, I mean, you cannot keep the smart quarterbacks. Brady, he never gets hit much. Manning, you know, I mean, he finds a way. But Cam Newton realized, you know what? If I run like this coach wants me to, I'm gonna be done in 3 years. I'm not gonna get that big contract. So he wised up, and it changed my perception of the NFL because I really thought Cam Newton could come in the NFL and run, but he can. He can do it periodically. He can kick his points, but if he ran the same offense like he did at Auburn, he would be carried off on a stretcher in the NFL, guys.
Absolutely,
it's just so much more violent. I mean, I didn't know that until I actually saw him in college, put him in the NFL, and I realized, holy crap, it's just a different ball game in the NFL, guys.
Well, it's a fluke. I mean, think about it. The running quarterback in the NFL is a fluke. It reminds me of the Wildcat. Remember when the Wildcat was big Miami?
Yeah,
was
Ronnie Brown.
The Wildcat. And you see versions of it, but you don't see it on such a big, big-time, you know, field each and every week like you did when defensive coordinators had the opportunity to figure it out, guess what? They figured it out. And gone are the days for RG3 when he was just getting suspensions for uniform violations. I think you wore an Adidas t-shirt and a sweatshirt to a post-game press conference and got nailed for it and some kind of other thing. I mean, you know, gone are those days where, you know, Robert Griffin, that's so interesting. He's in the news for something besides his football. And now he's in for his football on what he cannot achieve. And I don't wish bad things on quarterbacks, but you look at the NFL and the way that it's played over the last years, those running quarterbacks don't last long. And they just don't. And you get very few times. You don't get Randall Cunningham's coming out of, you know, college and be able to do it as well as they did. The Warren Moon, you know, those guys could actually do it. But they also, was a different era when they played that game.
Exactly. These guys are on steroids, HGH now. Shit, Warren Moon would get paralyzed the first hit. He'd be in a damn wheelchair the rest of his life.
Yeah, well, his girlfriend put him out of his misery. But, you know, that's another one up on top of it. But you know, RG3, man, it's a very interesting thing. And you know, say what you want about him. But, hey, there have been some guys that have been released in the NFL. We got to talk about that because if we don't talk about it, that kind of puts a lot of things in it. So let's go ahead and head on over to the release page because we talk about 2012 and they've been. That's all I heard about. But Trent Richardson, I wasn't on this guy's bandwagon when he first came out anyway. I'm not sure what you guys felt about Trent Richardson, but I was not sold on him, especially what they had to give up. There's another guy that you had to give up a lot to get Trent Richardson. Did it end up being worth it? And looking at the Dallas Cowboys going up for Mo Claiborne, you know, him and Andrew Luck, although he was in the top five in 2012, the other three are gone, baby, gone. Cuervo.
Yeah, and I don't see anybody picking him up. I honestly
don't
either. He's still young. Yeah, he's still young, but it's I don't know. That's a great question, Tarvin. What the hell happened? And
that
makes
happened.
You wonder how long.
Yep.
Finishes. What I said, the first year while he was in college, his first year in pros after Cuervo finishes up, and you tell me what you think. So go ahead, Cuervo.
Well,
I'm not going to steal your thunder.
I'm not going to steal your thunder, Tarvin, but I think I have a feeling I know what you're going to talk about. And it's not the individual either. So it has to do more with the program. But anyways, I think with a guy like Richardson, it comes down to work ethic and effort. And I don't think it was there with Richardson. And you know, we see it so much where – you have the talent, but you don't put the work in, and eventually it'll catch up to you. And for Richardson, I think it caught up to him when he left college and he realized, holy cow, this is a whole different beast in the NFL.
Yep.
And I got to put some damn work in. Well, shoot, I don't know what to do. And you know, he tried to live off of his pure talent, and it just didn't work. So guys like that, they tend to fade away. And I think that's what happened to Richardson. And I just think he didn't put the effort in. And, you know, I think he benefited from a lot of things at Alabama. So I'm going to let Tarvin kind of chime in on
steroids,
that.
Steroids, guys. Steroids. I'm telling you, Mark Ingram, Trent Richardson loaded up on steroids and now trying to play clean. It's different. I mean, Trent Richardson was on juice in high school, and now he's having to play clean, guys. And now he can't because it's not. You're not the same. I put Sonny on steroids playing any sport for a year or 2 years, and then take him off and do it clean. He won't. Mentally, he'll struggle. Not only physically,
yes,
but mentally. And I don't think Richardson can figure it out.
And they're not going to talk about that on ESPN and Fox and all the other ones because I think I'm in firm agree with you. When you say what you want about the college game, it's not as clean as the NFL. That is number one. And I don't know if that's ever going to change on college. And I don't know the testing programs or what they got going on in college or if they have them. That having been said, I think this was the year that you saw, well, that 2012, this year when you seen a Trent Richardson. I mean, I was listening to a local radio station on the way home, and the love that Trent Richardson got from, you know, from all these guys, you know, Mel Kiper was in love with this guy. Oh, he's going to be great. Yeah, he's going to be great, but he, you know, he's got to pee in the cup now. So this is a totally different game, and I think you're absolutely right. I think that was a thing that really, and I hate that. And that the problem with that is really simple. When you have to depend on something else besides your God gift ability in order to do it, it just goes to show where steroids works for it. But I find it interesting that a young kid like that, you know, at least he did it right. He didn't, you know, I don't think we ever heard from him as far as testing positive or anything, but it just goes to show what happened. And right now, college football, I think, has got to make a change. I mean, is there testing? First of all, guys, you know this more than I do. Is there testing in college football? And if there is it enough?
I don't think so. But I want to give an example before Cuervo answers this, if you don't mind. Mark Ingram was the same running back with Trent Richardson. When I watched Trent Richardson play, I was like, this is the best running back I've seen in a long time. And once I started putting once I saw Mark Ingram go from 175 to 235 all muscle in a year, I realized something. When I watched Trent Richardson, he ran like a man possessed, and so did Ingram with steroids. Now look at Ingram. He got to the NFL. He blows. He sucks. He's hurt all the time. Look at Richardson.
Yep.
Same thing. And Lacy didn't get to play. You know why? I guess he was third best, but he wasn't shooting up steroids. He made it to the NFL. So I think the same thing with Cadillac Williams at Auburn and Ronnie Brown. Brandon Jacobs was a third string, and all of a sudden, you know, he's playing in the NFL with a more successful future. And I think Ronnie and Cadillac both took the steroids as well. I hate saying that, but it's true.
Quavo?
Yeah, like I said, I knew that's where Tarvin was going to go. I didn't want to steal his thunder, though, but, you know, it makes you wonder – at the college level, you know, the focus is so much on do they get paid. Well, you know, maybe, I don't know, but there's other ways that these players can benefit from boosters and things like that. It's not always money, okay? Those paper bags, they may not always have money. They may have some needles in them. We don't know this. We don't know what's in there. It's a paper bag. It could be anything. So, you know, it just makes you wonder, like, what about RG3? I mean, I'm not saying, because he's a small dude, but correct me if I'm wrong, Tarvin, he took a hit in college better than he did in the NFL. You know, even though the guys are bigger in the NFL, it just seemed to me like he got up and he brushed it off like it was nothing. Did Sonny fall? Did he drop off? I wonder if he had to call back in or not.
I'm not sure. What were you saying right there? I was cutting in and out. Now I'm trying to get back in. What did you say after my steroid spill?
I was talking about how, you know, these college boosters could be giving these guys more than just money. You know, it could be coming from, you know, boosters. I mean, you know, they get handed paper bags. We don't know what's in those paper bags.
No. But I'm going to tell you, it's coming from somebody that's done steroids. I have. I hate to admit that. but not anabolic. It was testosterone shot. I'm going to tell you, Cuervo, it makes you stronger, man. It makes you faster. It makes you smarter. It makes you confident. I'm telling you, I took it for 6 weeks. Man, I felt like I was king of the world. And then you know what? For the next 6 weeks, I felt depressed. I felt just like just nothing. And I'm telling you, that's just a regular testosterone, something we produce naturally. Imagine if I'm putting HGH or all that other crap in your body.
There's just so much stuff that's going on in the college level, and I don't even think that I don't even think college football wants to jump into it. Why? This one's really simple. We only have 32 teams in the NFL. How many college football teams are there out there? I mean, the cost of this would be huge. Yeah, the cost of that is so huge. It's unbelievable. So you're gonna run it. But then again, I mean, you know, they'll just pass it on to the fan. You know, make them pay, you know, $5 or $10 more a ticket. You know, that's usually how all that works. And not that they're not making millions already, but that's just what it is. So it really interesting as how the season is going and as the preseason going. Some interesting cuts. I thought Fred Jackson out of, you know, Buffalo. This guy's been kind of like the cornerstone at the running back, but this is a guy that can't stay healthy. As much as I like Fred Jackson because he's an indoor guy, he came from the Sioux City Bandits before he went into the NFL, so I always kind of root for this guy. But this is a guy who gets cut by the Bills, but at the same time, I know they got LeSean McCoy, but, I mean, I think I like the fact that I have a Fred Jackson backing you up. What happened with Fred Jackson and the Bills? What do you think, guys, up there at the Cuervo?
You know, Sonny, this one doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm trying to understand what the reason was behind cutting Fred Jackson. Because you think about it, they lost CJ Spiller. He goes to New Orleans. So now who is McCoy's backup?
Exactly.
I'm not sure. Maybe I'm missing something, but you know, it kind of. That's why I'm saying this one doesn't really. This one I don't understand. The Trent Richardson one was pretty obvious. The guy just doesn't have what it takes to be a running back in the NFL. So, but for Jackson, I mean, I thought he would be a good backup to McCoy. And,
yes.
You know, in third down, you know, third and short situations and things like that. But yeah, this one doesn't make sense to me. I'm not understanding what the logic behind it was, and now, you know, you're talking about the rich getting richer. He's set to talk to the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
And they're probably gonna sign him, and he's gonna back up Marshawn Lynch now.
Well, Jerry Jones is going to try to get a hold of him as well. Just to let you know, that's the big news out here in Dallas. Jerry Jones might be on the bandwagon for Fred Jackson, crafty veteran. The problem, yeah, obviously, still comes to his health. So in Dallas, they'd want him to be the starter. So that might be a problem because the guy can't really always stay completely healthy. So that's going to be huge for them as well. Ryan Broyles, he is the fourth year playing for the Detroit Lions. He was cut. Ryan Bostic, he was cut. I thought that was an interesting one from Minnesota because as much as you want to keep, you know, your guy there in Minnesota, and I'm talking about Teddy Bridgewater, keeping it short, keeping those passes, I think Brandon Bostic was, you know, kind of a shock to me that this guy got cut. Yeah, shoot it over there to our wonderful Southern gentleman in South Tarvin.
Yeah. No, I just don't make sense. There was a name you said before him. Who was it? It was what was the name I was going to ask you?
Ryan Broyles for the Lions.
Yeah, where did he play college? I'm sorry, I just can't. Oklahoma.
Okay, Oklahoma, yeah.
Right. Okay, cool. I was just trying to think of all these names, and I don't even know the guy you talked about last, Sonny. Who you're talking about?
Yeah, Brandon Bostic, he's the tight end for the Vikings, and he was good in yardage on the short, and I think they needed to keep that for Teddy Bridgewater.
I think this is AP's offense now. They just said the hell with everybody else. Just hand it to AP.
I think they did.
That's the only offense you need.
Cuervo.
For in case you missed the guy, Bostic, what he's known for, he's the guy that couldn't recover the onside kick for the Packers.
Yep.
In Seattle in that NFC title game. That's I don't know if they did some special teams work with him, and they're like, yeah, you're not cutting it. So, but in case you were wondering who that is, that's what that guy's going to always be known for, is botching that onside kick.
Hey, Tarvin, loss for the Panthers. We didn't talk Kelvin Benjamin,
oh,
ACL. That had to be huge. I bet you had tears. What's that? It was a tear in your beer, I imagine, when you heard that one.
Yeah, that's a huge loss, because look at him as a rookie. He was all Cam had, and of course he has open the tight end. Now he has nobody. And you're talking about, you know, some aging veterans. You have an inexperienced. To me, the line's not that good. I think Carolina takes a step back. They could possibly finish last in this division. That's how big of a loss that was. So you see the difference. Jordy Nelson, that's okay. Aaron Rodgers, you lose Benjamin. Cam Newton, I just don't think he can bring. I don't think he can resurrect someone like Aaron Rodgers.
And some other news, Antonio Brown, he gets a $2 million raise for the Steelers. Are the Steelers to beat in the AFC North? I know I don't want to jump into our predictions, but, man, you got the Ravens and the Steelers looking really good here up to this point, especially Ben Roethlisberger. I'll tell you, I watched a little bit here of him in preseason. I'm going to tell you, Ben Roethlisberger kind of reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger about 3 or 4 years ago, and if you're playing the Steelers, you don't want to see that guy. I mean, Cuervo, Ben Roethlisberger, has he been rejuvenated? What's going on in Pittsburgh that makes the Steelers look so good this year?
Well, he's got a guy that he can throw to now, once again. I mean, you know, once Hines Ward retired, you know, there was a period where the Steelers didn't really have any solid receivers. I mean, Antonio Brown was a rookie. Randall L. was getting old, even though they brought him back. And they also had Mike Wallace, who, as we all know, guys, I mean, he could be a great deep threat, but he drops a lot of passes, too. So,
yes,
for a couple of years, they didn't have a reliable receiver. I mean, Heath Miller was their best guy in reality, and he's a tight end who, you know, runs, you know, half a mile per hour. So I mean, he's slow. So that was the problem with Roethlisberger. But now he's got, not only does he have Brown, who's emerging as, in my opinion, the second best receiver in the NFL, but he's also got, now he's got Le'Veon Bell. Now he's got, you know, he's got Bob Bryant. Even Sammy Coates. Thank you.
Sammy Coates.
Yeah, he went to some scrub college. I don't know, but I've heard the name. he's an Auburn rookie, for those who don't know that. But so now he's got some guys he can throw to, some guys that are playmakers. They were playmakers in college and playmakers in the NFL. And, you know, now Ben's like, yeah, I like this. You know, I got some guys again, like I did with Hines Ward when he was still around. And so, you know, that's what's really resurrected his career, is he's got guys again that he can throw to and rely on.
Yeah, he can buy time as well, can he? I mean, Sammy Coates, the big deep ball threat, Ben can somehow find more time and scramble, and his arm's so strong, he can throw it all the way down the field. That's why I like Sammy Coates in this offense. When he was drafted, I was like, he can block. He's a great blocker, a run blocker, and he can catch the deep ball. Perfect fit for Pittsburgh.
That's the thing about the Steelers.
They draft well. I didn't mean to cut you off, Sonny, but that's the thing about the Steelers, man. I love the way the Steelers draft. If I could have any draft war room team members in all the NFL, I want the Steelers before the Patriots, before the Eagles, before the Seahawks. Give me Pittsburgh all day.
They definitely know how to do it. We're always talking about them, you know, whether it's the end of the year or whether they're going to start out the year like they have, because they look good. They look good. So the AFC North is going to be a very interesting division. Brian Cushing says he's back to his old self. Listen, hey, Brian, you know, can you go out and play 16 games for me first? You know, he's feeling like his old self, and guess what? Your football team is throwing a lot of money at you, and you haven't hit the field. You know, the Texans, we've already talked about their – I mean, they're already doomed because they made Brian Hoyer their starting quarterback. Does Brian Cushing's really help this football team? I think he does, but this guy's got to stay healthy in order for this to, you know, work for them on the defensive side of the ball. They got enough question marks as it is on the defensive side. They don't need Brian Cushing to be another one. You know, and Tarvin, this is a guy that has all the hype in the world, but we don't see him on the football field week in, week out like we see other superstars.
Well, in Hard Knocks, you sure see him talk a lot of trash and smack.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Hard Knocks gave me an up close and personal view of this guy, and all he does is he's a psychopath, first of all. And then he talks about steroids. Hell, that's a steroids with a mental disease added. That's not good. But yeah, I don't know about the guy. I think if he's on the field, you have Clowney and you have Watt. I mean, that could be a great defense, but it's always a missing piece. Always.
Looking at the Philadelphia Eagles. Could the Philadelphia Eagles? Yo, hold. Oh, wait a second. There's someone in the. Say that again. There. I just seen something from. Let's see here. Oh, got it. I see what you're saying. Mark that. All right. Back to where was I? I was talking about something. I was going to take it to, the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, I heard on the national sports channels, you know, this is a football team that looks like it's flipped the switch. And I don't know. Is it Chip Kelly? I mean, Chip Kelly, that's a guy that took a lot of heat when he started cutting guys here, cutting guys there, trading guys here, trading guys there. And right now, at least so far in this, you know, preseason, Chip Kelly looks like a recruiting genius. I'm sorry, but the Philadelphia Eagles, they actually look like a team to beat. And not only that, the NFC East, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, it's going to be the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles yet again. I mean, what do you think about the Eagles' chances, Cuervo, to advance and make it, and maybe winning the NFC East and making it into the playoffs?
Well, I mean, I think if the offensive line does enough to, allow DeMarco Murray to do what he did last year, or at least similar to what he did last year, then I think the Eagles are going to be off and running. I mean, you're talking about a team that is averaging 30 points a game in the preseason. Like,
yeah, that's sick.
You calm down. It's not that serious there, Chip. But I think what he's doing is he's trying to make a statement that hey, we're for real. We're coming for everybody in the league. So, you know, by then maybe teams will have figured out what they're doing or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, to put up, 30 points in the first half against the Green Bay Packers in the most important preseason game of the preseason, that's big time. So, and they've got playmakers all over the place, and it just kind of it makes you think, like, this could be kind of scary. And you know, so if they put up points like that in the regular season, boy, oh boy, we're talking. I don't know. It could be hard to really hard to beat this team.
Tarvin, what do you think about the Eagles? Did I lose old Tarvin? We clicked the button. We lost Tarvin. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they go as far as the rest of the season. He had to bail. We're going to bail in 6 minutes. So I'll throw the last question out to you, Cuervo. I want you to think of all the players in the NFL that can have a – I want you to pick a guy that is not a guy you expected to pick it up. Okay, I want you to pick this guy that is not really a guy that is really, oh, how do you say it, vital to their football team, but it's going to have a standout year. Who is going to be the newest cream of the crop to rise to the top that people aren't thinking about? So I kind of threw a curveball at you. If you want me to go first, I will. But is there a guy that you're thinking of that people aren't thinking of that is going to maybe rise to the top and we're going to be talking about him week in, week out in the NFL season?
Well, that is a tough one, Sonny. But if I had to pick somebody, I would probably have to say, a guy that nobody's thinking of that could lead their team to just the higher level than they've been in a while.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not the guy that turns out to be, you know, the comeback player of the year, but a guy that really steps up and helps his football team win football games.
You know what? I'm gonna say Nick Foles in St. Louis.
Interesting.
That's my pick.
Nick Foles.
I mean, you're talking. Because that's the thing that the Rams have been missing, Sonny, a quarterback that can stay healthy. Obviously, Sam Bradford was their guy, and they decided to cut ties with him and whatnot. So now they bring in a guy that he's missed a few games, but you're talking about a broken collarbone. You know, Sam Bradford, torn ACL twice. You know, I don't know if that's just bad luck or is this time coming to an end in the NFL, but I think the one thing that the Rams were missing was that quarterback spot that could make their offense reliable, and I think Foles could be the guy that does it. So that's going to be my pick.
I'm going to go to my local team here, and I'm going to go to Darren McFadden. If the guy can stay healthy, I'm not saying that he's a DeMarco Murray, okay, but I'm going to say if this guy can stay somewhat healthy, and he can make the Dallas Cowboys have a balanced offense between run and pass like they did last year, it's going to be hard to beat that football team, and I hate this team. I hate the Cowboys. But it's going to be hard to beat them. And I think those Eagle-Cowboy games, I think those are going to be two of the best games of the season, bar none, in the NFL. You're getting – man, you're getting the Clash of the Titans two times a year for these games, and I actually can't wait to see it. But I want to see a healthy Darren McFadden, and he had a little problem in training camp. He got him up and going, and I saw just a little burst of what this guy could possibly do with the Raiders. Where if he would have stayed, if this guy could have stayed healthy with the Raiders, I think this was a football team that was going to be hard to beat on the run, as far as the run anyway. As far as the Raiders were concerned. So I think I went ahead and I went the other way. I think I'm going to go ahead, Darren McFadden. If he stays healthy, I think the Dallas Cowboys can be the same. Because really, when you talk about the Cowboys, you're talking about two things. You're talking about, number one, will they be able to keep one defensive player out on the football field? And will they be able to get something going from the running game? And both of them, they're injury-causing guys.
Yeah, and I like your pick too, Sonny, because, I mean, that's who I looked at. And I think if McFadden can stay healthy, he's going to have a good year. And I think he's going to benefit from the awesome offensive line that the Dallas Cowboys have. So, but, again, what's the key to that? If he can stay healthy. So
if. Boy, that's a big word, isn't it? Cuervo, big word, if.
Well, when you're talking about McFadden, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to – capitalize it, bold it, underline it, make it, 600 font. If. Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge if because, I mean, he hasn't played more than, eight games in the past three seasons?
Yep. That's huge.
So, I mean, that's, I'm even surprised that the Dallas Cowboys signed him. So, I mean, I don't know what the plan was. I thought they were going to bring in Adrian Peterson, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think they were close on contract in reality. I think the Dallas Cowboys were trying to steal him, and they weren't going to pay the money that he ended up getting in Minnesota. So there you go. But that's the way it is. That's going to do it for us here on Sporting News Radio. What the hell do we know? We'll find out on our predictions. We're going to do this again here real soon, Cuervo.
Oh, yeah, Sonny, you let me know when, and we'll make it happen. We got some predictions to do. We got some divisions to break down. We got MVPs who we think are going to be an MVP and all that good stuff.
Yep, definitely. So join us here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. I'll get with you as far as dates are concerned. That's going to do it for us here on a Tuesday evening. Everybody have a good one. Don't forget about Friday, our local Rowlett Eagles taking on the Lake Highland Wildcats here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Rowlett Eagles Radio Network. We're out of here, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.